morning. Welcome. Good to see you today. A mighty pretty day to gather together and worship the Lord. And I'm glad I'm here. How about you?
Amen.
Amen. Before we begin, let's look at a few announcements. You see on Mondays, 9 to 12, the ladies' auxiliary quilt project being done to support the veterans. Bible study on Thursday the 21st at 10. Today we're going to have a meal.
Yay.
We want all of you to eat. How about that?
Amen. Yes.
All right. So we look forward to that. Ladies Auxiliary meeting November the 17th at 4. And on the 24th, Sunday evening at 6:30, we had the pre-Thanksgiving service. Tuesday the 26th, the youth lock-in. And pick up by 8. I don't know why they won't do it so early.
Hey, we actually pushed that back an hour,
okay.
Thank you, sir. But notice that the drop-off time has also been pushed back 30 minutes. So.
All right. Okay. Deep Run Christmas Parade, November the 30th, Saturday at 4 p.m. And then the 14th at 11 on Saturday, Bill Gray Cook-Off. Barbecue for sale at the fire department per pound or sandwiches. And if you'd like to buy a luminary on December the 20th, Friday, December the 20th, I'll see Joe Ellis. She can hook you right up. Also, if you want to be a sponsor for the Bill Gray Memorial Cook-Off, see Joe Ellen and she'll fix you up there. If you need to use the facilities here, the buildings, get it with Donna. You see her number listed. Any other announcements?
Well, no, but I just want to reiterate something.
All right, go ahead.
Some of you may not be, ladies, you may not be accustomed to auxiliary on Sunday afternoon yet, but we're working on almost a whole year. So remember, 4 o'clock today, please be here. And on the 24th, as I said, that's the pre-Thanksgiving service sponsored by the Women's Auxiliary, but it is in no way limited to Women's Auxiliary. Please come. It's going to be different. So, we hope you
can
Joe,
yes. Church served Mary's soup kitchen yesterday, and it was 144 plates. And then we gave sandwiches out, so we had a lot of people, but they did really well yesterday, and it was nice.
Well, that's great. There was also, 76 families served?
Mm-hmm. Saturday,
the food bank.
Saturday, 76 families fed at the food bank at downtown church on Saturday. And the next one, it'll be the bulletin next week. The next one will be December the 17th, the packing of the bags at 10 o'clock.
December the 16th. No, wait a minute, hold on. Monday afternoon, we're going to do backpack buddies, pack them and get them ready. And if you come, please do, if you're on the committee, because we're going to try to do 2 weeks, do this coming week and Thanksgiving week.
Backpack buddies packing into bags on the 16th.
This coming Monday, what's that?
18th.
That's
Monday the 18th.
Monday
the 18th. All right. That's tomorrow. All right.
At the youth lock-in, the youth will be making fruit baskets for stocking stuffers for when we go caroling. So please let me know if y'all know anybody in between the youth that y'all would like us to go caroling too, so that I can kind of get a little idea of how many people will might be visiting.
Let Beverly know if you know someone that we can go carol to and carry some fruit baskets, okay? Let her know. All right? Any others? All right, let's begin worship.
Oh,
stand as we read together responsibly, responsive reading. Rejoice, people of God, this is our Sabbath day.
Rejoice, friends in Christ, this is our time for worship.
God ordained the Sabbath, a time for rest and restoration.
God is worthy of worship. He is our creator, healer, and inspiration.
So then let us worship the Lord.
Jesus, we praise your holy name.
Father, we offer thanks that we can be present here together as your children and you're present with us. We thank you for the moving, anointing power of your Spirit that rests upon us, strengthen us, move us, call us, and send us where you have us to go, and help us to worship you in the Spirit and truth this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let's turn in our hymnals to 408. We're going to sing verses 1, 3, and 4 of How Firm a Foundation. You may be seated. Mr. Dennis has our scriptures this morning.
Old Testament readings from Psalm 16. Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure. Because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. The New Testament from Mark 13, 1 through 8. As Jesus was leaving the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what massive stones! What magnificent buildings! "Do you see all these great buildings?" replied Jesus. "Not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are about to be fulfilled?" Jesus said to them, "Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am he,' and will deceive many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginning of birth pains." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
My own.
Continue to worship this morning as we pray. Are there any needs we need to mention this morning?
A friend of mine, Lee Jones, lost her mother yesterday.
Okay.
Jason and Sharon Smith.
Okay.
Remember Harry Miller, with our junior, and still pray for me in my back. I still got pain with it.
Okay.
My mother, Betty Gunner, she's having some leg issues.
Okay. Any others?
Continue to pray for Jenny Burns. She's battling cancer right now.
Okay. Any others?
Marlene Benson.
Okay.
Andrews.
Yeah.
Hannah Nunn. She's also battling breast cancer.
Okay. Also remember on the back of your bulletin as you pray this week, there are many needs listed, many names. Continue to lift these in prayer. Also our nation, our leadership, and certainly the leaders of the world, we need peace. We need to work together and love one another. Let's take action as we pray.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with humble hearts. We come here to worship you, also to be in awe of you, of everything you do. You're a good God, and you love us, even though we don't always deserve that love. Lord, I pray for all those that have been mentioned and those that haven't been mentioned. Lord, I pray for those families that lost loved ones, and help them, please, as they move forward. Be with our pastor as he brings us the message you've given him. And be with each and every one to open your heart to the message that the Lord is sending to you. All these things I ask and pray in your precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's all turn to 508 in our hymnal, stand and sing all three verses of Love Lifted Me.
Thank you. one of us, in this church, Lord. We ask that you be with each one, the gift and bless the gift and the giver. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. For the doxology, please. Be seated. Our scripture text today comes from Psalm 16. Dennis read that for us this morning. It's a good psalm, and we want to pick a few things out of it this morning. Our thought will be, what do I have to be thankful for? If you didn't know it, Thanksgiving is right around the corner. I like Thanksgiving. You know why I like Thanksgiving? Because it's the least commercialized of all the national holidays.
Some places even forgotten.
Yep. Stores cash in on Halloween and Christmas and Valentine's Day and Easter. But there's not much of a Thanksgiving windfall for retailers. As a result, we don't suffer from Thanksgiving overkill. We're not expected to buy Thanksgiving candy or send Thanksgiving cards or pass out Thanksgiving gifts. There's really no hot point in this holiday for advertisers to exploit. So they created Black Friday. As you know, it's the day after Thanksgiving. It begins one of the busiest time of the year for retailers. You know, I got some ads this week. Advanced Black Friday, they call it, or something like that. So in the next 4 to 5 weeks, there's going to be a lot going on. There'll be parties to attend, shopping to finish, gifts to wrap, cookies to bake, cantatas and programs to go to, special services at church, visiting relatives, and on and on and on. For most of us, the next several weeks will be the most hectic days of the year. However, before the insanity begins, we can look forward to Thanksgiving Day. Amen? Though Thanksgiving isn't specifically a religious holiday, it can be spiritually uplifting if you let it. Because a thankful heart opens the door to God's blessings in our lives. Sir John Templeton, the billionaire investor, was once asked, "What is the secret of wealth?" He said, "The secret of wealth is gratitude. If you're not grateful, you're not rich, no matter how much you have." The flip side of that is, if you're grateful, you're rich, no matter how little you have. The truth is, your life can become rich if you choose to be thankful for all of that that you do have. We have a problem. That problem is we have a tendency to rate our lives on a scale of comparison with others. We compare ourselves with those whose lives appear to be richer and fuller and more exciting than ours. Many times we feel shortchanged when we think that way. We wonder why others have it so much better than we do. Of course, that's wrong thinking. The truth is, having a thankful heart is not about comparing yourself to others. It's about recognizing and acknowledging what God has done and is doing in our lives. In Psalm 16, David reminds us of some things we can all be thankful for. And we should concentrate on these things because they'll help us develop and maintain a thankful heart. And I think that is something that is needed today. A thankful people. Thankful for the things that they have. So I want to mention three things that we can find here that David reminds us of. Three things that you can do to be thankful and therefore open up the door to unseen blessings God has in our lives. The first thing is acknowledge that God is the source of all the good things in your life. In verse 2 of chapter 16, David said, "I said to the Lord." You see David doing this? "I said to the Lord, you are my Lord, and apart from you, I have no good thing." In the book of James, James says in James 1:17, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights." This means that all of the good things you have in your life, you can thank God for. Not just for the spiritual blessings, but also for material blessings, sociological blessings, relational blessings. Every good thing that we have in our lives is a gift from God. Make it a habit to recognize the goodness of God in every single detail of your life. From the time you wake up, say, till the time you get to work, there are at least 100 things you could be thankful for. When you wake up, you can thank God for a bed you slept in, with a pillow for your head that was clean, a blanket to keep you warm. You can thank God that you slept under a roof and not under the elements. And look, you can even thank God you got an alarm clock to get you up on time. And that coffee pot to brew up that coffee to get you going. Electricity to light and heat your home. You can thank God that you've got running water and a refrigerator that keeps things cold and a stove to cook your food. Thank God for a toothbrush and toothpaste. and deodorant, your soap, your shampoo, your shower, your indoor plumbing. There are a lot of people that don't have this in our world, and even in the United States. These are things we typically take for granted. But there's no question about it. They make our lives better, amen? Amen. And we can be thankful for them. They're God's good gifts to us. And as we go through each day, there are literally thousands of things that come across our path that we should be thankful for. We can thank God for listening to a good song. We can thank God for a writer we enjoy reading, a restaurant we enjoy eating, a park we enjoy visiting. We can be thankful for all these things. And I haven't even got to the big stuff yet, like your spouse and your children and your parents and your in-laws and your friends and your church and your job. And the list goes on and on and on. There are thousands of things that you enjoy that benefit you on a daily basis. And they're all gifts from God. Our focus mustn't be on what we don't have or who has it better than we do. Church, our focus must be on all of the good things that we do have in our lives, because every good thing in our life is a gift from God. And the truth is, we live an abundant life. David is saying every good thing comes from God, and without God, all these things are meaningless. So let us acknowledge God as the source of all of the good stuff that He's given to us. The second thing to do to be thankful is to recognize the pleasant places in your life. In verse 5, David said, "Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places." It's interesting David said that. You know, because if he wanted to, he could have complained and whined about his lot in life. I mean, he could have appeared on Dr. Phil and just told about how horrible his life had been. You know, I was like the redheaded stepchild in my family. None of my older brothers respected me. When I was a teenager, they forced me into battle with this vicious giant. I even had to pick up my own stones for the battlefield. I shouldn't have had to fight that fight. The government's let me down. They should have protected us. And then the king tried to kill me, so I spent years on the run, and my best friend was taken from me. And then this woman tempted me and seduced me and enticed me to commit murder. Well, that's not exactly how it happened, but if he was going to complain, I'm sure he'd put some blame there. David could have ended his saga by saying, "And eventually my own son rebelled against me and tore my family apart. Woe is me." All of those things happened in David's life, and many other things happened too. Good things, pleasant things. And those were the things that David focused on. Wouldn't it be great if our worship services were filled with testimony about the goodness of the greatness of God in our lives and all the great things that God is doing every single day? You know, anyone's life can be a tale of tragedy or victory. It depends on which story you want to tell and where you want the focus to be. Just like David, we've been assigned our portion and our cup. There are many things about our life we didn't get to choose. Our parents, where we were born, our gender, our family ties, our looks, our talent, our intellectual capacity. Those things were assigned to us. And I don't know about all the details of your life, but I do know this. There are areas of your life in which the boundary lines have fallen in pleasant places. And I would say recognize them and thank God for them and give testimony to the goodness of God in your life. I read about a young lady who grew up with an alcoholic mother, and her father, and then her stepfather died before she reached the first grade. Sociologists would tell us that she had a disadvantaged childhood, but she doesn't see it that way. Instead, she looks back on her early years with gratitude, and she says, "I'm so thankful I attended a wonderful Christian school that taught me the value of hard work and discipline and character and thankfulness." You know, she has a point. I think of all the kids today who grow up in affluent homes with both parents at home, but yet they never learned the value of discipline and hard work and character and gratitude. You can look at all the things you don't have and all the disadvantages that have been thrust upon you, but that kind of thinking only leads to misery. Instead, I would say, look at the areas of your life where the boundaries have fallen in pleasant places and be thankful. Be thankful that God has given them to you. Acknowledge all the good gifts God has given. Recognize the pleasant places in your life. And the third thing to develop and maintain a thankful heart, we must look ahead to better days. In verse 6, David said, "Surely I have a delightful inheritance." Inheritance, that's a pretty good word, isn't it? Huh? David is saying, what the future holds for me is even better than what I have now. In the Psalms, whenever David speaks of the future, he always talks about it with optimism. In Psalm 23:6, David said, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." In Psalm 48:14, David said, "God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide to the end." In Psalm 85:12, David said, "The Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest." Today's text, he said, "Surely I have a delightful inheritance." And in verse 11, he said, "You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." What is David saying? David is trying to get us to understand that we have it good now. God is blessing us, and we should acknowledge those blessings, but the best is yet to come. When you live a life with a thankful heart, it's easy to believe this. When you have the mindset that I have so little and everyone has so much, it's difficult to be optimistic about the future, isn't it? The truth is, when you recognize that God has already blessed you with so much more than you deserve, it's easy to believe that God will make it even better in the days that lie ahead. I've noticed this. People who don't look forward to the future don't enjoy the present either. Neither do they appreciate the past. Having a thankful heart changes that. Having a thankful heart enables you to recognize God's presence in your life, past, present, and future. Because God is good all the time. Amen. A grandmother is watching her grandchild play on the beach, and this huge wave comes along and takes him out to sea, and she immediately cries out to God, "God, please save my only grandson. I'm begging of you. Bring him back, God." And all of a sudden, the big wave comes and washes the boy back onto the beach. She looks up to heaven and said, "He had a hat on, too." That's kind of the opposite of gratitude there, okay? The pilgrims made 7 times more graves than they did huts to live in. No Americans have been more impoverished than these pilgrims. Yet they chose to set aside a day of thanksgiving to thank God not for what they lost, but what they did have. Helen Keller said, "So much has been given to me. I don't have time to ponder over that which has been denied." That's the way I want to live. That's the attitude that opens the door to God's blessing in your life. Every good thing in your life is a gift from God. Every pleasant place is a gift from God. Every hope that we have for the future is a gift from God. Thankful heart means that we have meaning. It gives meaning to the past, the present, and the future of our lives. It opens our eyes to the gifts that God has given us and opens the door to His continual blessings in our lives. I agree with David. Every good thing comes from God. And without God, all these things are meaningless. So what does this mean? It means we must acknowledge God as the source of all the good things that we have and testify of the goodness of God and give God the glory. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Father, we thank you for your word today and the fact that it reminds us that you're a giving God. And if we would just stop and just think about all of the blessings and life that we have, we can see the source of them all is you. Help us to be grateful people so we can be godly people and love others. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Let's all turn to hymn number 597. Stand and sing the marked verses of "Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated."
Once again, it's good to be present today in the house of the Lord with all of you guys. And don't forget, we've got a big meal over there next door. We want everyone to participate in that. And another blessing and good gift from God. Remember the announcements, the one not listed to the Backpack Buddies tomorrow. What time did you say?
1 o'clock.
At 1 o'clock, okay. Does anyone else have anything to say before we leave?
The meal today is passed for our pastor and his wife, and we do appreciate you very
Amen.
Much, just
Amen.
In case we don't ever make it clear. And let's give him a hand.
Oh, you can bless the meal. How about that?
Oh, and it's all right. Father, we thank you for today and all your many blessings. We thank you for Thanksgiving and the season that reminds us of what we should do every day. We thank you for the food that we're about to eat. We thank you for our pastor and his wife and all that means to us. And we ask you to bless this food for the nourishment of our bodies and bless to your service. All these things we ask and pray in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah.